You're getting a hearing test. It's a spiritual hearing test. And we're going to call this message today, The Voice. The Voice. And I'm so grateful for all that God has done in our lives and in the churches that we have been privileged to be a part of. This verse comes from John chapter 10. It says, "The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on. You know, have you watched the news this week, anybody? I wish somebody would tell the truth. Somebody. Senate confirmation hearings. 2 weeks ago, the fall of the head of CBS, gone. Major businesses, gone. Movie moguls, gone. So much political posturing. A single word that Jesus says in John chapter 10, a single word, full. You might have life to the full. It's not about quantity only, but it's about quality. That you might have abundant life. And it means, it means a lot of something. That you might have life to the full, a lot of something. It's life forever. The ways of Jesus is what this series has been speaking of. Being known by God. When Jesus uses those words, "I have come," that we might touch and see and hear the voice. My wife loves watching The Voice. If you haven't ever seen it, it's got four chairs. They turn around so they can't see the artist, and they just simply listen. And it started me thinking, that's what we need to be like. We need to be able to be in the presence of God and not see him, but hear him. Because anybody, if Jesus showed up today so you could see him, we'd cut this new carpet up and get underneath it. You really don't want him to show up. In the Old Testament, when God showed up, people died. And they actually believed they would. So you don't hear anybody in the Old Testament going, "I want to know you. I want to see your face." No, you didn't. No. No, thank you. Because if you saw God, in fact, remember Manoah and his wife, before they had Samson, saw the angel of the Lord, and he grabbed her hand and said, "We're dead." And they laid on the ground waiting to die. And can you imagine after about 5 minutes, you're going, "Well, we're not dead." But that's what they believed would happen. That's what they believed. And Jesus said, "I've come that you might have eternal life." So the first point of this is the voice. A familiar shepherd. A familiar shepherd. All right, let's go to John chapter 10. That's what we're going to be covering today, the Gospel of John. Can't cover everything in it, but we'll certainly make a dent in talking about the voice. A familiar shepherd. Let's first of all look at John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. If you don't have a Bible, I think it's going to be right up there. Yeah, there it is. "I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him. The sheep do what?" Ah, the sheep listen to his voice. "He calls his own sheep by name. Now, here's what I want you to not miss in this passage. He calls them by name. It's not a bunch of sheep and the shepherd going, all right, all you, y'all, your sheep, get in here. In fact, it's not that way at all. The language, and we're going to talk about how that happens, the language is simply, he calls them individually. Aren't you glad when you get to heaven, he's not going to just say, I'm so glad y'all are here. Don't you want to hear your name called? Man, it's so good. I see Barbara in the back and say, Barbara, come on down. I mean, come on, you want the Lord to know your name. Nobody wants their kids raised and just say, hey, you. How many got a different name because your parents couldn't straighten out the three or four names they had? Yeah. And sometimes a mix of names. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know what? They know his voice. Come on, we need hearing instructions. We want to be able to hear the Lord speak. And it says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Yeah. The scene plays out in this passage of a village life. Each house usually would have several sheep for the wool, for milk, for food, for sacrifice. And they had a common area during the day, a pen that they would put these sheep in. Most of the time, people kept animals underneath, if you will, their courtyard, and they lived above to protect them at night. And during the day, they usually had somebody, a watchman that watched what was going on, but in the morning, the shepherd would come. And they either, by name, each of the sheep had characteristics. So they were either called big ears or big bottom or whatever they called the sheep. They all gave them names, and it was either that or some kind of musical note would cause the sheep to come because they would hear what they were supposed to do. Same thing if the shepherd's with them long enough, when they would say, don't go over there, stop, the sheep would listen. And they were known by the shepherd. That's why the place that he is appointed, it's not fake. He is the gate to the sheep. He comes in the way a shepherd is supposed to come in. And the sheep respond to that. They listen to his voice. My mother is 88. When my mom calls me, she says, hello, son. I don't go, who is this? I'm very familiar with my mother's voice. I don't ask, is this you, Mom? Hi, Mom. A lot of times she'll call, she says, this is your mother. I know it's you. It's the same thing that, listen, when you hear the voice of God speak to you, you'll know it's God. Because when God speaks, there's something that's, first of all, it's true. It will never lead you to sin. It's very obvious. If God's telling you to do something, it's going to be something that is probably big. It's probably $10,000 worth. You better get ready to give that too. It's never a problem of the shepherd speaking. He's always speaking, but it's of the people hearing. We have to be attuned to the voice, and he calls us. He knows my name. And the ways of Jesus are calling us through faith. The ways of Jesus of working with integrity and listening and following what he wants us to do and the way that he would do that. He leads us. His ways are always tied to direction. He wants to get us somewhere. This is the way, walk in it. And he asks for obedience. I mean, that's part of the ways of Jesus. You can't just hear him and not do anything. It's like the fact when the Lord said, I want you to buy some land. I didn't realize that that meant eight pieces of property. I didn't understand what that was going to entail and how many trips it would take. But all you got to be willing is to say, yes, Lord, when you hear his voice. The ways of Jesus are intentional and a purpose. He told Peter, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Yeah, there's thieves and there's robbers. They are self-condemned, and they're in conflict with Jesus. He said, there are those who come, and they come a different way. They don't come in where the shepherd comes in. They climb over the fence. Trust me on this. If you want to try to go with a false shepherd, you got a lot of work in front of you. See, the good shepherd, he opens the door and calls the sheep out. Those who are hirelings, they climb over the fence. You're going to have to do a whole lot of climbing and sin. Ever been there? It's work, folks, to live a sinful life. And it costs you. So, you know, to deny the real door just is going to give long-term problems and selfish ends. Because those sheep who hear the voice come by grace. They come through grace. Secondly, the voice is a good shepherd. A good shepherd. I'm only going to read these two verses from this section. And one we've already read. But I want to go back and just to touch on these two verses because they're worthwhile in this particular passage. If we'd had all day, I would have read the entire book. But or at least every verse of chapter 10. But look at verses 9 and 10. It says, I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. Thank God. He will come in and go out and find pasture. It means life. And he says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Here's the deal. You know what the shepherd brings with him? Blessings. Blessings you can find with the shepherd. First of all, the first gift he brings is salvation. It's the gift of a Savior. And that's why the lostness of Luke chapter 15, remember there were lost coins and there was lost sheep and there was a lost son. The shepherd comes to find those that are lost and bring salvation because he is the gate and there is no other way that men might be saved. The ways of Jesus are the ways of his promise. Come, go, and find pasture. Wow. Security and nurturing. Notice the security is offered not by a walled enclosure, but by the proximity of the shepherd. Aren't you glad when you get saved, you didn't say, okay, I got to put you in a box. All you saved people, we're all just going to be in a holy huddle together. If you think that coming together on Sunday morning for an hour and a half is your salvation and your church and your business of being a Christian, that happens when you go out the door. It's what you live in the community, the neighborhood. It's what we do in reaching out in families and bring them in. I want to go plan the structure after service, so I'm going to go down the slide and find my way. Because, see, Christianity is not in a box, folks. It's the proximity of the shepherd. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice. I am the gate. I am right there. And you can come and go as you will, and you'll find pasture. He ever goes before us, doesn't he? This is the way. What does he tell us? Walk in it. Live in it. Don't be confined to some box someplace like a church building. This is a place to gather. The church doesn't happen at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. The church happens 24 hours a day because the shepherd, we hear his voice. And we go where he calls us to go. Whether it's Africa, whether it's Mexico, or whether it's across the street. Do you know when I first came here 2 years ago? We're going to bring our motorhome and park it in the church parking lot. And a lot of people here said, don't do that. I said, why not? They said, it's not really safe. Do you know what? Your neighborhood is changing. Because we drove around and looked at some of the houses are changing. Some of the people are changing because you're making a difference. Thank God for that. You know, you say, well, we might be moving, so we got to be careful around this neighborhood. This is your neighborhood. Own it. Make a difference. See, that's the shepherd. The shepherd stands and he's just calling out. He's calling sheep who will hear his voice, that great voice, abundant and full life. That's exactly the promise. So let's go on to chapter 10, and let's go on with verses 11 through 18, if you will, with me. 11 through 18. I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Isn't it true? Come on. If you didn't follow the Lord and you got in trouble with some guys who were sinning with you, what's the first thing they're going to do? They're going to stand with you. They're going to run. Everybody just runs. Every man for himself. Yep. It says, but then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man who runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Boy, look at the, if you want to, the way of Jesus is a way of suffering. And he's willing to pay the price for that, for the sheep. He says, listen, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. So any of you here think that you got a corner on salvation? God is able to save people, and there are going to be a whole lot of people in heaven I wouldn't have let in. Right? Because I'm prejudiced. But Jesus says, I know their hearts. There's going to be a whole lot of people there that you didn't plan on. And it says that I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation will come together. And there's going to be one shepherd and we will understand. Isn't it fascinating to think of all the languages in the world? There are thousands of dialects and languages. But when the shepherd speaks, everybody will understand. I'm looking forward to heaven. Because then everyone, we're going to have like those kind of synthesizer things that whatever anybody speaks, we're going to understand each other. Isn't that awesome? Because that's what God's going to do. It has to be that way because we understand that just because King James English is not the godly language, there's a couple of other languages that we're going to be spoken to. Wow. And it says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus knows you can kill me, but you can't keep me in a grave. Because I have authority not only to lay it down, but I've been given authority to pick it back up again. Awesome. He lays his life down for the sheep. That's what he does for the sheep. Again, it's Jesus' way. The price will be paid, and it will be considered to death on a cross. And the cost will be weighed out, and the shepherd will say, I'll pay it. His love for his own will lead to his own sacrifice. Isn't it interesting? He said, my Father loves me because I lay my life down for the sheep, so I count the cost. I count the cost. He loves his own. And it only leads to his own brokenness. Listen to this quote from Moses in the book of Numbers. Let the Lord, the God of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who shall go before them and come in before them, who will lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep without a shepherd. From Numbers chapter 17, verses 16 through 18. See, the way of the world is everything is you. It's all about you. And when the thief comes, they run away. And when the wolf comes to attack the sheep, the hireling beats it away and says, I'm out of here. Let the wolf have the sheep. But not the shepherd. See, the shepherd act is voluntary and his ways are voluntary. He is not going to let the wolf attack the sheep. And that's why when you listen to the voice, you've got people like David who listened to the voice and slayed giants. You got people like Daniel who would bow to no one except the voice. You had Abraham who talked to the voice face to face. The shepherd's act is voluntary. And he says, nobody can take these sheep from my hands because nobody can take me from my Father's hands. Do you have ears to hear the voice? Do you have ears to hear the voice? If the capacity to hear is present, then you have to develop it. Now, just to stop for a second. If you're deaf, you cannot speak. The deaf cannot speak because they cannot hear. Right? So, I'm going to say this. You won't know how to pray unless you can hear his voice. I'll say that again. You cannot pray if you cannot hear his voice. Because speech comes after hearing. So do you know when you pray, you never initiate it. Prayer is always a response to the voice speaking to you first. Ever wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking about somebody? That just comes on your mind? Anybody? That's the voice speaking to you to pray for them. You thought it was your idea. Come on. It's the voice who is speaking to you. I don't wake up for nothing. But if I wake up and somebody's in my mind, I pray for them. Because the voice is waking me up. Hey, you. And sometimes when we're asleep is the only time God can speak to us. Because we're so busy. And our world is very loud. Very loud. Hearing has to be a value. As Christians and the ways of Jesus, we should desire to hear the voice of the shepherd loudly and clearly because he fights off the wolves that attack and he brings us life, eternal life. Here's some hearing substitutes that sometimes happen. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Sometimes we substitute hearing by reading, whether it's the internet, blogs, whether it's magazines, whether it's books. Sometimes we substitute busyness. I'm really busy. God is not impressed with your busyness. He is impressed if you can hear his voice. Substitute sometimes is just simply turning off your spiritual hearing aids. I don't want to hear. Because sometimes God will speak to you something that you don't really want to do. But you have to hear his voice and respond. It's called selective hearing. For years, we lived by a road that had a lot of car noise. You know, after about 6 months, you don't hear those cars anymore. Isn't it amazing? Live by a railroad track for a while, and people come over and go, "What in the world?" And you go, "I didn't hear anything." It's called selective hearing. When my children were born, never heard them cry. How many times did you say, "Can't you hear him crying?" No. But trust me, buy a car you've never owned before, and it's not brand new. Every time you drive the thing, you're listening. What was that? Heard this clunky noise. Then you call somebody up. Do you know what, if something makes this noise? What do you think that is? Because it's so selective. Because we have this thing and we're so into it. We want to make sure it's going to be good. It's going to be a good car, whatever. What would it be like if we did that with God? We said, "I'm listening to every noise, everything. God, is that you? I'm going to focus and make sure I'm hearing your voice. And the Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in want." In that translation there in the 23rd Psalm, when it says, "The Lord's my shepherd, I do not need any other." It's not talking about stuff. It's talking about God. The Lord's my shepherd. I don't need anybody else. Yeah. The voice. 3. The eternal shepherd. Chapter 10, 25 through 30. 10, 25 through 30. Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep do what?" There it is again. They listen to my voice. They listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them, here's the gift, eternal life, and they shall never perish. If there was nothing in this life that God gave and allowed, but he just said, "If you'll follow me, I'll give you eternal life, and it's worthwhile. I'll give you eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all." Hallelujah. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. You know, sometimes I read the Bible, I should just read it and sit down. It's that powerful. The ways of Jesus. The ways of Jesus gives us access to him. Gives us ways to follow him. And all of these things are secured by faith. They're awesome. It's an illumination of the ways of Jesus to what is the real relationship with God. It is the number one thing Jesus refers to himself as, a shepherd. It's his number one. That's what he likes better than any other identifier, the good shepherd. See, when you call him, he calls himself, I am the good shepherd. The word good is only associated with God. Good means God because there's only one who's good, God, right? So when a man came up to Jesus and said, good teacher, Jesus said, just a minute, if you call me good, you're calling me God. Do you realize that? And so there's this thing when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is saying, I am God. There's nobody equal to that. And so he said that we're called his people. In verse 27, my sheep, listen to my voice. The prophet once said, we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. If he didn't speak, we could not hear. But I love that Jesus spoke in love and mercy. My sheep follow me. They will never perish. You see, his voice, there's nothing like it. There's no other voice like his. We were sitting, Connie and I were going, we went to Houston, Texas. I know, don't get panicked. We went to Houston, and we were in the church that we had, that we were going to, was round, and they had a business card. They had an outline of a round building on it. We're laying in bed, and we were talking, and I think it was either me or her. One of us said, God would have to write on the wall for us to go to Houston, Texas. I kid you not. We wake up in the morning, and the curtains had been open enough, and on the wall is an outline of the church building. We went to Houston. God speaks. His sheep know his voice. And listen, where there's faith and God puts finance, always follow faith. Always follow faith. We're called to be his people. That's why we are gifted people. We receive the gift of eternal life. He says, all who believe in me shall never perish. See, the good shepherd doesn't let the wolf come and chase you out of heaven. He's got his own place. The road is narrow that leads to life. And the road is wide that leads to destruction, according to Matthew. All who believe will never perish. It's permanent. It's forever. We always give our grandson, Andy, he loves tattoos. And so we get those little rub-off tattoos. And he'll keep it on and he'll go, my tattoo's coming off. Yes, and may they keep coming off all of your life. And Andy, you know, but it's not permanent. But see, you don't have to worry about the blood of Jesus washing off. Once we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, it's permanent. Permanent. We are a secure people. Don't you love it? No one, nobody can snatch us out of his hand. If the shepherd is being the shepherd and guiding us with his rod and his staff, nobody can take us from his hands. No opposition, no destruction, no politician, no confrontation, no power on heaven and earth is greater than the good shepherd. Thank God. Yeah. Even the weak will be saved. The voice. Okay. Here's some things about the voice of God that I want you to take away. God's voice brings encouragement. God's voice brings encouragement. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says this. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? You are His temple. When He speaks to us, God's going to speak to you encouragement because He dwells with you. He dwells in us. And when you hear His voice, it will be a voice of encouragement. Listen, the enemy comes only to rob, kill, and destroy, and I'm going to give one more word to that, to condemn you. Condemnation will always draw you away from God. Conviction will draw you to Him. So God will convict us, but not condemn us. That's been taken care of. Two, God's voice brings peace. If there's ever a voice that brings peace. Whenever the disciples were out and Jesus wasn't with them, they were scared to death and the boat's filling with water. What does Jesus say the first thing when He comes up? Peace. The word in Hebrew is shalom. It means utter peace. No matter where you are, no matter what the situation is, He will bring peace. Peace be still. Peace be with you. God's voice always brings peace. And when you hear it, it's like being in a pasture. It's what the promise is. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Chapter 4, 6 and 7 simply says this. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, when you don't have, and you find that you don't have any peace, He will come. The shepherd will come. And He will speak words to you, and it just calms everything. Calms everything. The peace. The voice brings peace. The voice brings hope. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15, 13. Peace brings hope. It says this. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I got to read that again. If you came this morning and you just don't have any peace, you need to hear the voice of God. Do not leave today without letting God speak to you. Because in a little bit, we're going to have some prayer teams come up. And I'm telling you, if you're here and you need to hear God, have someone pray with you. Where two or three are gathered in His name, He promises, guess what? I'm going to show up. May the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the voice, when you hear it, will create faith. It will create faith. Romans, once again, chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, 17. Says this. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes through hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Sheep hear His voice. His sheep know the shepherd. Not some higher lane that comes and makes you jump over something. Nope, that's not it. Jesus says, listen, I and the Father are one. Unity, purpose, believing in God. He has commissioned us, and thank God we are one with him. One body, one shepherd, one group of sheep, maybe different languages, different colors, different nationalities, different ethnicities, but in his world, he has called us all, and we can hear his voice and be one. So be it. Yeah.